Ambassador, we understand that today you met with Mr. Tsvangirai of the opposition MDC. What was the meeting all about?
Well, thank you, Blessing. You know, our policy is to meet with everyone, government officials. We met with the president, Mr. Mugabe, the foreign minister, the environmental minister, the finance minister, reserve bank governor, and now we're starting to meet with the opposition. We met with Mr. Beatty, Mr. Salonga, Mr. Nube, and Mr. Dabengwa. And this is part of our rotation of normal things diplomats do in meeting everyone. Clearly, I knew Mr. Tsvangirai when he was a trade unionist and I was here before. So it was good to reconnect. But it was just to learn about what his aspirations were for his party as well as the people of Zimbabwe.
Are you also engaging leaders of the non-governmental organizations or CSOs?
Oh, yes. Maybe a month or so ago, we met with many leaders of civil society. And those were the first, before we met anyone in the opposition, we met them. And what we've asked them is to tell us what they hope for the future for Zimbabwe in terms of democracy, human rights, as well as economic opportunity, investment. So we're looking forward to hearing from them. We don't want this to be a top-down exercise. We want civil society organizations to tell the United States as well as other international actors how we can best assist them, and then we will have to make our assessment.
Talking about economic engagement, Ambassador, it is not likely that, for example, the arrears clearance plan for Zimbabwe will succeed without the complete support of the U.S. Because of the what Harare calls restrictive provisions under the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act. Is the U.S., are you going to block Zimbabwe from accessing loans from the IMF? What's the position of Washington there?
Well, thank you for that. Let me be clear. Zimbabwe is not eligible for loans from international financial institutions because, as you know, they stopped paying before 1999. And that made Zimbabwe ineligible. That has nothing to do with Zedera. We do encourage economic reform. We would like to see economic reform. We're very encouraged by meetings in Lima. We'll have to see what happens in May. But there's a long way to go before there would be any discussion of monies and disbursement. We have to see, as those other members of these organizations, what Zimbabwe's complete plans are, how they intend to implement those plans and structure their reforms. So it's premature to talk at this point about new lending until we see what the government will do. We're encouraged by the fact that they would like to do this, but now we have to see what they are going to do.
But more recently, Senator Bob Corker, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, wrote a letter to the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury stating that the current law requires the president to make a number of certifications, including the restoration of the rule of law in Zimbabwe, satisfactory election conditions in that country, equitable, legal, and transparent land reform. These not some of the issues that you should also be looking at?
Well, that is what the Senate would like. Clearly, I work for the President of the United States, who has made his position clear on the need for economic and governance reform. We're not going to get into a list or a tit for tat. That would be counterproductive. But we would like to see governance reform as well as economic reform.
What are you doing to promote a trade between Harare and Washington, say involving business people from the two countries?
Yes, as you know, my illustrious predecessor, Ambassador Wharton, brought a trade delegation to the United States last year. We also, through the Corporate Council for America, in February of this year, Zimbabwean business persons went to Addis to meet with American business persons. I think also your Deputy Reserve Bank Governor was part of that meeting. The World Economic Forum will take place in August and September in Rwanda. We're encouraging the Zimbabwean business persons to go there. There have been a number of American companies, not many, but several, who have inquired about businesses here. We can only tell them what's going on. Then, of course, American businesses make their own decisions. But we clearly would like to see American businesses give Zimbabwe a look.
Ambassador, there was a recent article in Zimbabwe's government-leaning Sunday Mail newspaper saying that the United States government is blocking transactions involving dozens of institutions and individuals as part of an elaborate plan to influence Zimbabwe's 2018 elections. Your take?
Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Our sanctions are on 98 individuals, 68 companies. If that one of those listed companies or individuals are trying to enact transitions, that is when the DERA takes place. But clearly, we are not trying to block Zimbabwean people. The average person is able to send remittances to Zimbabwe. I think the challenge Zimbabwe has as a dollar economy is that you have to perform as a dollar economy. That means the highest standards. That means lack of corruption. That means open transparency. That means being able to remit your funds. But in no way are we trying to effect regime change.
Talking about the issue of democracy in Zimbabwe, are you happy with what you are seeing on the ground?
Well, it's quite complex. Blessing, what we're trying to do is work with all parties, including the ruling party, to ensure that the Constitution passed in 2013 is fully implemented. This is a Constitution that all parties agreed to. We would like to see it implemented because this is what the Zimbabwean people have said they would like. Recently there have been a march in support of Isai Zamora on his 1 year anniversary of his disappearance that was allowed without violence, and the MDC was able to go to court, win a court order, and had a march without violence. There are comedians, as you know, plays, theater going on that are critical of all political parties. I think the question is not what we are seeing, it's what the Zimbabwean people are seeing and what they would like to see. Clearly, we want to see the law enforced in terms of farms, commercial, and we're very concerned when there is a violent takeover of farms. We're very concerned when we see reports that there would be conservancies taken over. We're very concerned when we see reports that social media may be monitored or censored, or people charged with crimes for expressing their freedom of speech. We're very concerned when we hear that the gay community may be blocked. We are very concerned when we don't see a follow-up on sexual assault or domestic abuse charges, or that people have to pay kickbacks for employment in public and private sector. All of those issues have been raised to us by the Zimbabwean people who are most affected by that.
Talking about the land reform, Ambassador, some officials in the government are saying that America reneged on its pledge to provide $75 million every year for the first 10 years of Zimbabwe's independence when nationalists were negotiating for a political settlement. What happened to that pledge?
Well, I've never heard of that number. Lancaster House, United States, and Britain did pledge and did provide funding for the initial 10 years. But what you have to look at is the United States in the intervening 36 years has provided over $2.6 billion to Zimbabwe. We continue to be the largest donor by far. Right now, you have a terrible drought going on. We are giving $55 million to stem the drought, the challenges people have in getting food, food insecurity. Again, we are the largest donor in that. We're doing many things that I would hope that is highlighted. Yesterday was World Malaria Day. The United States has given over $14.5 million to combat malaria in the last 10 months. Last week, I was privileged to go to Matabele Land North, to Gwanda, to see real work on the ground where we are working to provide dams to people to help prevent mother-to-child transmission of HIV/AIDS through proper breastfeeding, food distribution. All of those things have been gifts of the United States people. Clearly, you yourself know that we built a lot of the teachers' colleges, helped to add to the University of Zimbabwe. In fact, in that 10-year period that you're talking about, in 1 year, we gave $100 million to the Department of Education for construction of buildings. So our assistance has been long and deep. It remains that way. We're so excited about President Obama's Washington Mandela program, where so many fellows are able to come to the United States from Zimbabwe. We think our programs are wide and deep and affect change, changing lives, not only in the HIV/AIDS affected community, but facilitating scholarships, awarding fellowships, having these robust programs that really affect the average person on the ground.
But there have been complaints, Ambassador, that there has been a lot of politicization over this food issue. Are these complaints reaching your desk?
I have not had any directly. We have a monitoring program that is very strict for the $55 million that we will be donating through the World Food Program. And we monitor that at all times. When we announced our initial donation of $35 million, I was quite clear to the media and the public that if they have any specific complaints, they should come to me directly or to Stephanie Funk, our very able USAID director. If we get any complaints on that, clearly we will act.
Lastly, Ambassador, talking about the issue of the humanitarian crisis in Zimbabwe, we have heard that there's also been a bit of donor fatigue, though USAID said that it is happy that Washington has been responding to the crisis. You have traveled to some rural areas. What is the situation like?
Well, I can only speak for the United States government. As I said, we have increased our aid from $35 to $55 million to combat food insecurity. And when you look at the World Food Program, the World Health Program, the UN agencies, the U.S. government also contributes 20 to 30% of the funding to each of those agencies. So I believe the United States, the American people, have been extremely generous in trying to assist the people of Zimbabwe. I know that our colleagues in Brazil are donating rice, that other countries are donating of what they can, but I can't speak for them.
The U.S. is also building a new embassy in Zimbabwe, but we have also seen some European embassies relocating to South Africa. Why is Zimbabwe a priority?
Well, our new embassy campus, Blessing, shows the great commitment by President Obama and the American people to Zimbabwe. It's a $180 million facility. We're going to be hiring about 700 locals $32 million is devoted to their salaries. These should be 3 to 4 year jobs. It's going to be a beautiful facility because the exterior is going to pay tribute to Zimbabwe by looking like the great Zimbabwe. We think that the multiplier effect on the economy, which is the largest construction job Harare will have seen in many years, will be tremendous. So we're very excited. Most of our buildings end up being LEED gold and silver. We hope that this will show our commitment to the environment. We're also pleased that our project manager is a woman, our architect is a woman. It shows our commitment to gender equity and the fact that we are going to break through any glass ceiling. We plan on having Zimbabwean students shadow our workers on occasion. We have already provided donation of books to a school that's near our facility, and we'll look to see in other ways which we can assist. But this is another example of the long-standing commitment that the American people have had to the Zimbabwean people.
And lastly, there was a question here from my good friend, a ZANU-PF MP and chairman for Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee, Mr. Kindness Paradza, who said the new ambassador must prioritize the removal of targeted sanctions in Zimbabwe.
Well, again, as we have said, that is a decision for our president, for our Congress. That will be dependent on economic performance and governance, human rights. And that is extremely important. There must be accountability. You can't see funding without accountability. Elimination of corruption. Those are things that we will have to weigh as we move forward. But please remind the Honorable Minister, a Member of Parliament, that we continue to be by far the largest donor. I'm sure she appreciates that.